When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Standard issue for all women.
Welcome, welcome. Jen here with your It Is What It Is Friday edition of the Standard Issue podcast. Before we crack on with that, as you'll note, this is the end of the first week of the new look slash sound Standard Issue. And if you've not been keeping up to date, you've missed some corkers this week. So get your ass back into your podcast platform of choice after this one, obviously, and dig in. And while you're there, hit subscribe because you're not going to want to miss any of next week's offerings. I'll walk you through them quickly in the style of Craig David. Kiri Pritchard-McLean on Monday, Francesca de Torres on Tuesday, Tea with Mussolini on Wednesday, and BT on Thursday, Outside the Box is Friday. You are so welcome. Right, back to this episode in which I chat with comedian, writer and star of new BBC Three comedy Dinosaur, Ashley Story. We talk neurodiversity, representation and getting started in comedy, among other things. I loved chatting to Ashley and I hope that you love listening to her. I am joined by comedian, writer and star of new BBC Three comedy series Dinosaur, Ashley Story. Hello, Ashley, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me. I was just saying to you before we started recording that I was almost late for this interview because I was watching Dinosaur on the BBC preview service and it's absolutely delightful. Could you tell us a little bit about Dinosaur, please?
Dinosaur is a show about a woman called Nina. She's a paleontologist. She's hilarious. She's best friends with her sister, Evie. They're very codependent on each other. Nina is also autistic. And I don't think that's the most interesting thing about her, but it's just a thing that is about her. And then Evie turns up out of the blue and announces she's getting married to this guy she's only known for 6 weeks. And it throws Nina's whole world into a spiral. And she kind of has to make this decision between being a good maid of honour and a good sister and being herself. And she has to kind of choose that path and tread between the two versions of what the world wants her to be and who she is.
As well as being a star of this, you are also the co-creator, aren't you? And it's produced by two brothers who are the team behind Fleabag. How did your sort of your involvement in the creative side of it come about?
It's super weird. It's not the route anybody else has ever taken. They had a pilot that was written by Matilda Curtis, who's a young writer. Her cousin is autistic and she'd written this pilot about an autistic woman, and it was very like that sort of cerebral comedy that's totally tonally like Fleabag. And I could see exactly why two brothers were making it. And they were looking for a 20-ish year old woman in England to play the lead. And my agent was like, look, she's not English and she's certainly not in her 20s. But I've read this pilot and I think Ashley would be really good for it. And she spoke to Rosalie Clayton, who's the casting woman, and I made a little tape and I sent it off. I mean, there was stuff in the pilot that Matilda had written that was like about really obscure Harry Potter fan fiction that I had read and had a deep knowledge of. And I was like, that's such a weird niche reference. It felt almost like me. So I auditioned for this part. I got a part. I played Nina in this pilot. We filmed during the lockdown in 2021. And then it got picked up for series. And they asked, would I like to come on board as a co-creator and have more of a sort of shaping hand in the story and the arc and work with Matilda and write my own episode? And I said, yes. And that's how that came about.
Because you are also on the autistic spectrum in real life, right? So
yeah.
Presumably you use like a lot of your own experiences in the shaping of the character and the writing of the character. Nina is, as they say, unmasked, right? And I read that you felt that playing Nina had helped you to unmask more. Can you tell us a little bit more about where the similarities between you and Nina kind of start and end?
I think Nina's kind of like a sort of almost like fantasy of what my life could have been had I been diagnosed younger, had I been in a more supportive environment and didn't have to pretend or mask. I didn't know that's what I was doing, but I'm like the king of masking. I would get taken to the Fringe, the Edinburgh Fringe Festival every year from when I was like 11, and there was Fringe Ashley, and it's exhausting. Mm. And I would put on that face and talk to people and have running jokes with these people who I wouldn't see for the other 11 months of the year. And it was so tiring, and that was the main kind of place I could see. I'm literally pretending to be a different person every day, and it's exhausting, but I didn't know what it was. I thought I was just insane. Like, I genuinely thought, oh no, I've got some sort of personality disorder, or I've got to go and see a therapist. Or I didn't know that was part of autism, because my knowledge of autism was very much based off of like my dad's experience of it, where he doesn't mask. He is a fully fledged autistic dreamboat and has never kind of hidden any of those things. So I didn't know that was part of autism. But Nina just kind of, she knows who she is. She knows that's why her brain is that way. And she just lives it out loud. And it's so liberating to play that. Like, it's so nice to be that person.
Because you are autistic and you are playing an autistic person. I wonder what you thought about this idea that people should play parts that they have lived experience of.
I think it's important where there hasn't been anybody with that lived experience playing that role. I think that there's degrees of it. I think if you have like Native American characters who have notoriously been played by non-Native American people, you have to let Native American people play those parts. But if you have a Texan not being played by a Texan, that's a different thing, because Texans have also played lots of other parts. So
yeah,
there's a lot of false equivalencies and strange sort of comparisons. But specifically with neurodiverse people playing neurodiverse people, it doesn't happen very often. And because being autistic is like, it's this big spectrum of sometimes unknown stuff. And I always try to be very true to my own experience. I didn't want to pick from other people's experience that I didn't understand, because I think that that was just decided from the get-go that Nina's autism would be very parallel with my autism. And I would play it that way and not try and play my idea of other people's autism, because I hate when I see that on screen. It makes me feel so icky. Like The Good Doctor, my dad loves that show, and it makes my spine hurt when I watch it. I sit so rigidly.
Well, what about sort of other representations of neurodiversity on the screen? Because I think, as you say, this is not the most interesting thing about your character at all. And I don't think I would even have picked up on the fact that she was on the autistic spectrum, except that it is explicitly kind of pointed out in the script that she is. I don't think I even would have noticed that. So it feels like a very refreshing take on neurodiversity to me, because a lot of the representations we see are sort of sad or negative, or, you know, the characters are unhappy or misunderstood or whatever. I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about that. Like, is that something that you wanted to change in the way that Nina's played and written?
Definitely. And I also think that, like, you said that you wouldn't pick out that Nina was autistic. And I think that speaks to the huge number of women getting late diagnoses of neurodiversity, because they've lived their whole life and nobody would exactly point at them and go, ah, autism, because our idea of what autism is such a narrow thing that's kind of been dictated by parodies and caricatures. And oh, I like trains, and I do like trains, but I also like lots of other things too. I realized I shouldn't have brought up trains, because I love trains. I talk about trains constantly, but just because it's a stereotype doesn't mean it's okay.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you about the fact that this is on Hulu as well, so that is obviously a great opportunity for you as an actor, right? What's the reception been like?
It's had a lovely reception. People really like it. I keep seeing little articles pop up about it. I really enjoy seeing like folk have dissected it and tried to like find, because there's a lot of little hidden jokes and stuff that my brain just put in, and seeing people kind of find those weird little background jokes or little physical nods to stuff has been an absolute delight. But yeah, it I honestly get such a buzz when some women's like, I'm in Texas, just watched a show, loved it. I don't know why I keep mentioning Texas. It's in my head fresh. But yes, yeah, it's weird and it's delightful and I'm very happy.
All right, Mickey here with an advert for BetterHelp Therapy Online. You all right? Such a small question and sometimes such a big question too, eh? Now, regular listeners will know I am no stranger to depression, and while over time and with the help of some decent counselling and brilliant friends and family, I've established a toolkit to help when the constantly dripping tap of life gets a bit too much. That does not mean I am a stress-free human rainbow skipping through meadows. I mean, who is? We all carry around different stresses, big and small, and sometimes we can deal, and sometimes it's much harder to cope. Life, innit? Right now, I have a teenage puppy to deal with, and although I love her very, very much, she can be a lot. There, said it. And as quick a fix as it seemed to say, I'm fine, and push it all down into the big inside box and put that lid on. For me, that hasn't been a great long-term solution, in that if I don't get it off my chest, it will at some point come bubbling up, and it's never been one to pick its moments in a good way. I find talking means I can avoid it exploding out of me like a messy emotional volcano all over my nana's carpet. Also, during my various times in talk therapy, I discovered that saying something out loud or writing it down can make it seem much more manageable than allowing it to swirl around and grow ever bigger in my head. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I've found knowing how to reach out is sometimes the toughest bit, but BetterHelp is entirely online. Boom. Which means it couldn't be easier. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a registered therapist, then work your sessions around your schedule. With more than 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Standard Issue listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/standard. That's betterhelp.com/standard.
I love Evie's fiance, Ranesh. Yes. I love the character of Ranesh. I think he's hilarious. Like when he's doing all this stuff where he's like trying to be inclusive and sort of like, oh yeah, we'll have like fidget things at all of the tables, yes, at the wedding and things like that. I just thought like these are, they're almost like throwaway lines, but they're so funny, and his character is so like beautifully built. He's really like sort of feminist fuckboy kind of vibe to him, and I enjoy it very much.
We really wanted Nina's nemesis to be an actual nice person. So there is no real villain in the story, because
yeah,
he is actually an adorable man, and we all kind of fell in love with him a bit. But Matilda, she is a real strong hand in Ranesh and who he was. And that was the kind of fun thing, is she'd write like these lines for Ranesh, and then I would sit there and kind of react as Nina fresh with them. So it was kind of like she was throwing obstacles at me and going, how do you deal with that? Let's see how Ashley deals with that, and then that'll inform how Nina deals with it.
So I wanted to ask you, because obviously you've been around comedy your whole life. Your mum, for those who are not aware, is Janie Godley, the comedian. And, you know, you've done Edinburgh, you do stand up, et cetera, et cetera. What is next for you? Are we going to see you at the Fringe this year, or are we...
No.
No.
The Fringe can get in the sea. I am delighted that children on TikTok can outsell comedians at the Fringe, because it is proving that that was an unstable environment. Do you know how much money people throw at that thing, expecting their dreams to come true? I have a show on Radio 4 called What's the Story, Ashley Story, and I dedicated a huge chunk of it to just explaining why it's financially a bad idea for you. It's so expensive. It is so soul-crushing. There are these fantasies and fables about, oh, this person got discovered at the Fringe, this show got discovered at the Fringe, and then you find out, no, a TV company had bought it, then took it to the Fringe to develop it. It was never discovered there. It was never found there. It's a lie. I've always done the free Fringe. I love the free fringe. I love having people being able to come and see me whether they have money or not. And I love cutting out the middleman of the big venues. This is coming from a very jaded place for a woman my age, but I've done the fringe since I was 11 years old. I did my first one woman show when I was 13.
Wow.
I've been there, I've done it, I've been in the trenches. Listen to your Auntie Ashley. Go and do the other festivals. Go to Bath. Go do the nice wee festivals. Do one night and see how that feels before you sink 20 grand into Edinburgh. Okay, I'm reining it back in. I'm so sorry to all of the people who make money off Edinburgh who I've just poo-pooed. But
well, I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's completely unsustainable in terms of like what it costs, isn't it? So like, what would you say to comedians? You've kind of just said it, but like, what, you know, what can comedians who are starting out who would have previously seen that as the thing to do? What's the way forward now for a young comic?
So the young comedians coming in now know the value of social media, and whether we love it or hate it, it's the thing that works for you. That's the thing that's going to put bums on your seats, probably more so than even being on a panel show now. If you can go viral a couple of times over on TikTok or Instagram Reels or Facebook, or if you're on Twitch, you can make solid money and you can put bums on seats. But if you're going to go to the fringe, look at the free options. Speak to the people who run the independent venues. The big venue seems very lush and very exciting, but I promise you the tax, the emotional tax, and the amount of money that's skimmed isn't going to work out in your favour. These little venues are devoted to staying open and will make your life easier and make your experience good because they want you to come back. The big venues don't care. They're just going to profit off of your little minute of success, and they don't care if you come back to them or not. There's so many good free venues. Alex Petty is amazing. Or The Stand, who are an independent venue. Again, speak to them. They do good deals. And if you want, you can technically go to the fringe, not be in the fringe brochure, and just put on a show in a venue at the same time as the festival and be there and put bums on seats. Technically, you're allowed to do that. So just saying, you don't have to be part of that if you wanted.
Good luck finding accommodation though. Anyway.
Oh yeah, no, you have to have a family member who has lived in Edinburgh and owns land there at some point. I forgot to mention that. You're never going to survive. It costs too much money. Just fly there every day from London. Go back and forth on a plane, it would be cheaper.
Ashley, it's probably too soon for me to ask this question, so maybe you don't know, but like, are we going to see more Dinosaur?
Oh, I would be delighted if we could, but I have no idea. I'm very much taking this as this was a very fun work experience, and I'm probably going to go back to my normal life of working at regional radio and hosting small factual entertainment programmes where I milk cows that 17 people watch on BBC Scotland.
Well, Ashley, where can we follow you on the socials to keep up to date with whether or not that is the case?
I am on Instagram. It's just my name, Ashley Story. I mainly post pictures of me crying on public transport and pictures of my sausage dog. I'm not on Twitter because I don't like it and it makes me feel sad. And I'm also on Facebook, and it's again just my name, Ashley Story. And I don't do well with mean banter, so I'm putting that out there.
So don't do it, guys. If anyone listening felt like a mean banter in a stranger today, pick on someone else. Right, okay. Ashley.
Just so you know.
I hope none of our listeners do that.
Sometimes people think, oh, she's funny, let's be sarcastic. And I'm like, I'm autistic. I think that's literal. And now I'm walking about sad in my heart, not realising you were joking. It's such a weird place, the internet. I don't get it. And I'm too me to deal with it. I wasn't built for that kind of thing.
No one was. And therein lies the problem. Okay, so Dinosaur is on BBC Three starting on April the 18th. It's a 6-part series and it is absolutely delightful. I do recommend it. Ashley, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Oh no, you've reached the end of the free bit of the podcast. I'm Hazel, here to tell you that if you'd like to hear more, you can be like me and become a member of the Standard Issue Club. For just £1 a month, you can listen to upcoming podcasts ad-free and enter a weekly competition for a chance to win prizes. And for £5 a month, you get all that plus extra content like the rest of this interview, and you get a chance to be on the podcast like I am right now. To find out more, visit patreon.com/standardissue.
Standard Issue. For all women.